Okay, I want you to stand with me on your feet and open your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12. Let me just say how much I love our church. I love our church, man. You guys are awesome. I thank God for our church. Just love you guys. Yesterday went down to the softball tournament, our men's softball team. We have two teams, and we're able to play in the tournament. I love going down there. Every time I do, I'm blessed. Softball is one thing, man, but what really gets me, I love the community. I love seeing the guys out there in the hot sun. Even though it's hot, they're out there playing. They're out there just battling, and yesterday was the tournament. We did pretty good, guys. We battled. Come on now, we battled. But then there's a big potluck barbecue lunch. Come on, somebody, amen. But what I love is I love seeing the guys running. We got some fast runners. I told Brother Tito, who first time ever playing softball, and he plays cricket, so this was his first experience. He was running those bases. That guy's got some wheels. But I love when he come in, and I saw the camaraderie, the hugging, and just the community. I love seeing the wives and the families all there, and I just love the community. But what really blessed my heart was one of the guys came up to me and said, Pastor, did you see? I was like, what? This is a guy that is in our church right now because of the softball ministry. It's one thing to play softball, but we're into winning souls, amen? And so this is an opportunity for folks to join the church or to get at least one foot into this church. They may not come to church, but they'll play softball. So that's what we use the sports for. And this was one of the families that did that. He came and he played softball. One of our coaches, Nick, was always on the guy inviting him, and he kept coming. And softball would end, and he didn't come to church too often, but sometimes. But one of these Sundays, God got a hold of his life. God got a hold of his heart, and his whole family is here today. He's been a part of our church. He's a member of our church now. And what he got me, he said, Pastor, did you see yesterday? I said, what? He said, all season I've been wanting to lead the prayer because they pray over it before the game. And he said, and today was the last day, and I led the teams in prayer. God bless you, Tim. That's what I'm excited about. Amen. Is to see people just love the Lord and use what God has done and lead in prayer and grow in faith. So we are talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Now we're going to go into the gifts of the Spirit. And so I'm going to put the first scripture on the screen. You know, God has loaded us down with the fruits, and he's loaded us and he's given us gifts. And he's given us the gifts of the Spirit, not just for ourselves. He's given us these gifts for other people. So I'm going to frame this series called Filled to Spill. Filled to Spill. God has filled you when you went to camp. He filled you not to just keep that experience to yourself, but to spill over. We need to spill over in the Milan prison. We need to spill over and celebrate recovery. We need to spill out on softball teams. You need to spill out at work. You need to spill out in your community. You need to spill out everything God has given you. It's not for ourselves to say, ooh, I got this gift, I got that gift. We're filled to spill. And here's the anchor text. It's in Romans 15. It's on the screen. You're in Romans 12. I'm just setting this up today. Chapter 15, 13 on your screen. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our scripture. I can't wait to preach. I'm just setting the foundation today, but we're going to unpack that scripture. You are filled. I want you to get this. You are filled to overflow. So Romans 12 tells us this is one of the three lists of the gifts of the Spirit. And if you have ever been confused on the gifts of the Spirit, haven't been taught on the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to really want to lean into this series. Because I want you to know what the Bible wants you to know. God wants you to know what the Bible says about gifts. Romans 12 records the first list of gifts. These are called the creation gifts because these are the gifts God has given all of us. And everybody here has at least one of these gifts. You can have more than one, but you've got a dominant gift, and it's in here today. You're going to learn about that today. Romans 12, Paul is saying this. Are you ready? Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace, everybody say grace. Grace. Through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. He says everyone. Did you see that? Everyone. First of all, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Remember about the fruits too. Sometimes when we get all saved and going to church, we get a tendency to be kind of arrogant and self-righteous. And Paul said, watch that. Don't be doing that. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body. We are one body here at this church. And we belong to a larger body called the body of Christ. And he's all over the globe. The body of Christ is all over the globe. Who's a part of the body of Christ? Those that profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only way to heaven. That's my family in Christ right there. We can disagree on all kinds of other doctrines, on styles, traditions, methods. Those are all methods and styles and traditions. But the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of people all around the world that believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the only way to heaven. If you believe that, they're on the same team. Come on, somebody. You believe that? You see how it peels away all those other things? That's the body of Christ, but we are a local body. So we being many, verse 5, are one body in Christ, and individually members are one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, there's grace, everybody say grace, that is given to us, because these gifts are not earned. The word gifts, I know I'm preaching already. Gifts is the Greek word there. Charis, charisma is where we get charisma from. It's a gift. You don't earn it. God gave us a gift because he loves us. We don't earn it. It's a given to us. Then he says, let us use it. If prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, which means to serve, let us serve in that. He who teaches in teaching, exhorts in exhortation, who gives liberality, who leads with diligence, who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 13, there's another one. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Hospitality is another one. So God has given all of us. He has filled us with his spirit, absolutely. But these are gifts that he has filled us with abilities to further his kingdom. So I want to ask you today, what's your filling? What filling has he put in you? What gift has he put in? And today we're going to find out what that is, because all of us have one. If you already know it, then you're going to look at it. You're still going to learn something today, but we're going to find out your gift and your calling today. Thank you, Lord, for the word, for you have given us this passage to learn from. Thank you for your word. I pray you have your way in our service today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ask three people, what's your feeling? What's your feeling? What's your feeling before you're seated? Thank you, Zach. Offering. You may be seated. I'm so locked in, I forgot to take up an offering. Come on, somebody. Amen. Help us. Y'all know how to give. There's four ways to give. Thank you for your faithfulness. We got to pay the bills. Amen. We're also working on our lights. I know our live stream church is looking, and when I like to move around when I preach. It's just how I flow and teach and talk, and so. But some of these are dark spots, so I want you to know we're working on the lights. We're getting ready to have brand new lights in here that are dimmers, and we're going to fix that problem. And so help us do that with tithes and offering. Amen. Lord, I pray a blessing over our finances, that you would continue to bless us so we can be a blessing. And I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lord, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. What's my filling? So this is the first list of gifts of the Spirit. There are three. This one is the creation gifts, as I said, motivational gifts, personal gifts, whatever you may want to call them, however you've been taught. But they're listed as gifts from the Father. And he says that. And then there's gifts from Jesus Christ himself, which are the fivefold ministry to the church. And then the gifts of the Spirit are in Corinthians 13. And I'm going to show you that. There's a scripture in Corinthians 12 that tells us what I just said to you. These are the gifts that God's given us. And he has given all of us something. He has filled us. He has put his filling. I'm calling this filling. Something sweet, something good inside of us that somebody else needs. So, speaking of being sweet, I'm gonna kick this off with this little illustration right here. So, I got me a box of Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I preached on self-control last week. And I've been having to activate that fruit all morning. But I want you to see this as an illustration. How many like Dunkin' Donuts? How many like donuts? How many like jelly-filled donuts? All that deliciousness. Okay, well, we'll see here how bad you want it. So this box of donuts, okay, represents, we have so many things in common with these donuts. So these donuts in here were made by the same creator. The same person made all of these donuts. Just like you, we were all made by the same creator. And this creator who designed these donuts put something sweet and special and unique in every one of these donuts. Just like God has put something sweet and unique inside of every single one of you. And when you open this box, okay, someone's off. I thought she was already coming. That's Tanya, that's my girl. So if you look at these donuts, they're all looking pretty similar. It's donuts, but they all look a little different. I love variety. God loves variety. How many know that? How many appreciate variety? God is diverse. He loves different. He made us all a little bit different. He made us, and so we all look a little bit different, just like these donuts. But what really sets these donuts apart is what is inside of these donuts. And although we're different, we look a little different. Some are chocolate. Yes. Some are vanilla or sprinkle. Some are brown. Some are, there's more colors, but you know what I'm saying. And we all look beautiful when we get together. Like if I opened this up and it was all just glazed, it'd be like, yeah, glazed, three people. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate diversity. God loves diversity. It's beautiful to see diversity. But really what sets us apart, as I said, is the gifting that's inside of these donuts. This is what makes it. And what makes you different is what God has put inside of you. So all of these donuts were created from the same creator, and they're all created with the same purpose. And the purpose is that they don't stay in this box. And not everybody has the same feeling, but there's somebody out there that can appreciate and that needs what God put in you. Just like I think there's four of you here at least that really needs a raspberry filling in one of these donuts. Is there's four of you? How many would love? Come on up. First four up here can come get you a raspberry filled donuts. Look at them. Here they come. Here they come. Mama, here you go. Right there. Here you go. Mary. There you go. Here you go. Right there. There's some napkins on the front row. I got one for you, Peyton. Okay, here's another one. How many like custard? Do you like? There you go, have one. Happy birthday, by the way. Three more custards. We got a lady coming all the way from the back. Okay. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho, ho. Okay, okay, okay. All right, here we go. Self-control, guys. No, I'm just kidding. Here, Riley, come here. I got four more. How many? I forget what's in there. You just go ahead, help yourself. Okay. It's vanilla cream. I got two more vanilla creams. I see that hand. Come on up. And my brother right here, vanilla cream. Thank you. Yep. And we got a lady in the back. God bless you. Uh-oh, Maddie. Oh, I'm so sorry. What a gentleman. He says you can have it. No, go ahead. Go ahead. He's giving it to you. God bless you. There's just some napkins. Yeah, amen. Should have got two dozen. Did y'all skip breakfast? Come on, somebody. Amen. No. And you know what, guys? This box is now empty. This is exactly what the creator of this box was hoping and dreaming when he put those donuts in there. Can I tell you that if I closed this box and nobody came up and got them donuts, I would be very past my calorie count by the end of today. You know what would happen? They would begin to dry up. I'm not talking about donuts no more. They would dry up. They would begin to get hard. They're not pliable. They're not teachable. They're not enjoyable. They're hard. Instead of enjoying them, they're more like a weapon. And churches don't learn to get outside the four walls and to take the deliciousness out of these four walls. We end up shooting one another. We end up fighting with one another. We end up judging one another. Because we're armed. You get armed every Sunday. If you come Wednesday, you even get bullets with that ammunition, brother. We go deep on Wednesday night. Life group season started this week. How many of y'all is in a life group? Amen. Many of you. Huge group. I love this church. I love how many are. You're getting armed. Listen, we're getting armed to go to battle. Not to judge one another. He starts off talking about, don't be thinking we're all that. Don't be thinking about our sweetness. Your sweetness wasn't made for you. Your feelings weren't made for you. The feeling that I put inside of you was made for somebody else, because there's some strawberry lovers. There's some custard lovers. There's some people out there that love all the other flavors that God has inside of you. Hallelujah. And if they stayed in here, they'd also would grow mold on them. I did some research. What would happen? Also mold, and it says mold will start with the one of them, usually the one that has the most feeling in them. If they stay seated, if they are not moved and used or consumed, the ones with the most feeling in them will begin to develop mold, and that mold will spread to the rest of the donut. So soon you begin to open this box, it'd be so ugly and nasty, it'd be full of mold. How many know when God says, "Who much is given, much is required"? So those of us that love to go deep and love to been in church for years and know it, you know what that means? God's filling you up. He's filling you up with a lot of filling, because he wants you to go and spread whatever God's given you into people all around this place. That's how we're starting this series. Hallelujah. Amen? That's what he wants us to do. So we're going to find out what filling he put in you, because all of us have something that he's put in us. Many have more than one, but all of us have something inside of us. Let me give you a couple. I got to set the table here since we're talking about spiritual gifts. And I know my audience. I know many of you come from different backgrounds and everything else. And so I want to make sure I'm not just outrunning people. I want to be able to make sure if an 8-year-old understands it, so will an 80-year-old. As one pastor said, I put the cookies on the bottom shelf. I don't have cookies, maybe next time. This is what I want you to know. Write this down. God has called every believer to be a minister to the world around them. I want you to know that every single one of you are a minister. You're sitting next to a minister. Tell the person next to you, say, how you doing, minister? You are a minister. And you're going to see that today. No, Pastor Eddie. Yep. You're called to be a minister to the world around you. And another thing, what is spiritual gifts? This is the definition. Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities that help us connect with each other and advance his purposes on the earth. That's really what spiritual gifts are. They have two purposes. One, they bring us together. Did you see how many people came up here and we just, because of the jelly donuts, because of the filling, it joined people together? You see that? I didn't even know some of y'all knew and liked what was in those donuts until the gift was exposed. And then it brought people together. So there's people that sometimes we get mad at God because he hasn't brought certain people into our life. God says, I gave you everything you need. You need to let people know what's inside of you. And then let people be drawn to you. We spend so much time on the outside of us. God says that's not what we're supposed to be focused on in our life, because you can make a donut look like anything on the outside, then bite into it is really what that donut's all about. Oh, there's some Holy Spirit speak to us today. Holy Spirit speak to us today. So they bring us together, and the gifts that you're getting ready to see are given to us to expand his kingdom, to build his kingdom. So let's not use his gifts to build our kingdom, but build his kingdom. Sometimes we get frustrated and aggravated at what the Lord's doing, because we're gifted by him. He's the one that, it says God-given abilities. God put that, he put that filling in there. Just like Dunkin' Donuts, that's theirs. Dunkin' Donuts that put that in there. Every gift that you have that you've been able to excel at work and do what you do so well, you need to first recognize that that is a gift from God. If you don't acknowledge where that gift come from, we will think it's all ours, and we become arrogant, and there we go into pride again. God gave you that, just like he gave us the breath in our body today. So the first thing is realizing, like, on the right here on the cover of this, they want to make sure this ain't from Tim's, this ain't from Krispy Kreme. They want you to know loud and proud, baby, this come from Dunkin'. And when God has given us our gifts, you need to make sure, especially when he's elevating you, that it is that God gets all the glory. He said, Pastor Reddy, that message hit me. I said, well, then thank God, because that's just a word. I'm just a messenger. This is his word. This is his stuff. I don't think of this. Hallelujah. So, now, here's an important principle that you need to know about spiritual gifts, and I'm going to re-say this and unpack it as we go through this series. While a person may exhibit a dominant gift, God provides a measure of grace to his children for all gifts as he wills. What you just read, you saw some have a gift of giving. Some have a gift of showing mercy. Some have a gift of teaching. So does that mean only those with the gift of giving are the ones that we're all off the hook? Only if you got the gift of giving should you give. No, we all, what did he say twice? We all have received grace. We've all received a measure of grace to do almost all these. We can be used by God to prophesy. We can even be used, when you get to the verbal gifts in Corinthians, I'll show you, Paul says, I wish you all prophesied. We can all be used, but some have a dominant gift. It's like in that donut, there were some of the raspberry had a little bit of the chocolate on there. You can have a little bit of grace with other gifts, but your dominant gift, the one that's so easily, like for instance, giving, we all are called to give. But those with the gift of giving do it so naturally. They do it eagerly. They look for needs. They have a gift of giving. How many know people like that? And you can spot it in a kid. My little grandson is a giver. He's a sharer. He did not get that from me because I still don't share my Doritos with nobody. Pastor Eddie, don't share. No, I'm just kidding. That's my Doritos, my salsa. But my grandson, as soon as he gets something, he walks up and he just shares with people. Amen. Some of you are natural givers. Some of you are natural stingy people. How many know some of them? Just look straight ahead. We tell couples when we're in marriage counseling, sometimes we talk about finances, and y'all have heard this, and you know, it's good that you are a spender and a saver. But if you both are spenders, I'm gonna see a lot of you coming up. Hallelujah. Amen. But here, I want you to see, God gives grace in all of these. So we all are expected to give. We all have a grace from God to give. Giving is actually a fruit. When God begins to change your life, you should become a generous person. Now, but some have a natural gift from God that they're just givers. We have some in our church. We're in this building because of you. The sign out front was bought by one person in our church, $20,000. They wrote a check and said, I want everybody to see our church, boom, and paid for that sign out there. You know what is amazing? Not being such an amazing church to receive that, but I would love to be a person that can give that. Amen. 10 of you, probably the gift of givers just clapped. Some of you are thinking, I wish somebody would give me. Okay, you don't have the gift. That's what I'm saying. How many got the gift of receiving up in here? There's a gift of give, and I believe God places them in everybody. So some have a gift of mercy. So does that mean only if you got the gift of mercy? No, everybody should have a grace of mercy. You got to understand this, because when you move into the verbal gifts, there is the gift of tongues and there is a grace of tongues. The grace of tongues is given to every believer when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is your prayer language. Every person can pray in the Holy Ghost. That's called the grace of tongues. But not everybody will be used in the gift of tongues, Corinthians. Paul says when the gift of tongues is to be used in public worship, that must be accompanied by the gift of interpretation. And not everybody will express that gift. We'll learn more as we go, but I want you to see, because people go, oh, there's only one. And not all speak in tongues because there's a gift of tongues. Well, no, there's a gift of tongues and there's a grace of tongues, just like there's a gift of giving and a grace of giving, a gift of mercy and a grace of mercy, a gift of serving and a grace of serving. Everybody follow me. You got to understand that principle. Now, let's look at some of these and see what your feeling is. Let's run through these. I'm going to define them. Number one is define them. It's not on the screen, but we're going to define these gifts, what they mean in Romans 12. Number one is prophecy. This is a generic word, prophecy. It means to speak with boldness on behalf of God. This is the general sense. This is not the office of a prophet, because you can prophesy, but that doesn't mean you are a prophet. What you talking about, Willis? I know I can hear you. You can teach, but that doesn't mean that you are a teacher. The Bible says in Timothy, Paul said, every servant, the servants of the Lord must be able to teach. All of us should be, Peter said, we all should be able to give an account for what we believe. If you're a parent, you're a teacher. To some grace that is given to you to be a teacher. But then there are those with a teaching gift. You following me? So this is a general sense of prophecy, because prophecy is in all three lists. This is the one in Acts 2 where God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Everybody say all. All. And your sons and your daughters, some of your sons, no, all flesh, sons and daughters. Let me hear the women say, yep, he can use me to speak. If you go to ETS, our leadership training, we talk about women in church. We talk about the 2 Timothy, the Corinthians 6, and we tell you how they'll unpack those scriptures, because those are taken out of context many times and to abuse people and cut people out. I want you to know God has got, can use, he used a donkey. He used a rooster. He can use me and he can use you. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. So someone that has a gift of prophecy, they're a vocal person. And that's a gift from God. You're the first one to speak up. You have a boldness. You can. And before you get saved, I mean, this is a gift that's a personality gift. Many theologians say you're born with this ability. I believe that. I believe you're people that are born with the ability to speak like that, because not everybody is like that. That's a God-given ability. But here's what you need to do. You got to get saved. When you get saved, you get sanctified. God uses it for his glory. Let's keep going, because we'll come back to that one throughout this series. Ministry, that's the Greek word diakonia, which means to serve. It's a God-given ability to minister and meet the needs of others. It simply means to serve. This is where deacons were first mentioned in the Bible. It means to serve. If you are serving in the church, you are actually, you're a minister. You are a minister if you are serving in any capacity. The worship team, they're not just up here singing like American Idol. This ain't America's Got Talent. They're up here ministering to you and me. Pastor Steve takes it very seriously. He shares devotions, and we keep the main thing here. This ain't, nobody gets up on this stage that, you know, just wants to show off a gift. We're here to glorify and worship to an audience of one. But if you're serving in check-ins, check-outs, if you got a coffee today, someone will serve. That was a minister that handed you that delicious latte this morning. That's a ministry. Everything we do to the Lord, it's a ministry. It's serving. It's this word, serving. Kids, no one's watching kids. They don't watch our kids up there. They mentor. They teach the word of God to our kids. I love the little T-shirts we got for our kids. It says when kids, they don't receive a baby Holy Ghost. They receive the same spirit as you do. So if you are serving in any area at your church, this is that. But some people have a natural gift. They are just servers, and they're not seeking titles. I love what Harry Truman said. He said, it's amazing what you can accomplish when you don't care who gets the credit. Let me say, that should be hanging up in every church. Because we also want to get recognized, right? Pick me, you know, I did it. And I like to say I did that, and it feels good to say it, but man, sometimes that's just the flesh. We do everything that we do under the Lord. The Bible says, even when you give, don't let your left hand see what your right hand gives. In other words, don't be like the Pharisees who would stand in front of everyone and say, I want to write a check right now to the church and pay off this building. First, I'll say thank you. Then I'll say, brother, we'll have to talk after service. That I ain't no fool. I'm paying off this building. But we're not supposed to give that way. You know what's going to happen if we do it like that? You'll bless whoever you're giving to, but the Bible says you'll actually lose your reward in heaven. That will be your reward. This will be your reward. Whoa! Oh, gosh, help us. That will be the reward. But when we give in secret, when we serve when no one's around, when we say, man, I'll do that because God, I want to do this as unto the Lord. When we have that kind of attitude, God, the Bible says he rewards us from heaven. You'll see it show up at work. You see it show up in your family, somewhere in your life. Oh, help us, Jesus. I love it. Then there's, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul, after he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, he mentions the church again, and he says, God has appointed these, if you have it on the screen, into the church. First, apostles, helps, and administration. So helps is what we just talked about, serving. That's ministry. I want to show you that there's also a gift of administration that always complements helps. Administration is a spiritual gift, and many of you have that. It is a God-given ability to organize. It's just an ability to organize. I thank God our leaders have this. Pastor Steve is very good at this. This is what he does. I get these crazy ideas. Let's do this. Pastor Steve said, oh, okay, hang on. We got to do this. We got to figure out this. We got to figure out that. And it's like, whatever, something. I know, I'm sorry. I apologize all the time. But some of you love that stuff. He loves charts. Graham. Some of y'all love pie grams and all that. Look here in the chart. Every presentation's 10 points. There's a certain administration you got to have as a leader. You know your strengths, staff your weaknesses. Come on, keep going. Hospitality, God. And those are gifts to the church that people need more than you think. How many can appreciate some administration? When you go to places and it's like, what is happening? Someone with that gift is staying in the box. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus. Hospitality. This is a God-given ability to show love through acts of kindness. This is a natural ability. Many people, first responders, when I'm talking about nurses and people in the medical field, they have this gift from God, and that's what drives them into that kind of service. And you have... some just have a natural, now all nurses, you know, you learn, I know we got some in our church and NA and nurse assistants, all of them, they are trained to have bedside manner, right? How many know there are some that have it naturally and others struggle? Come on, I mean, just be real, right? When I was in the hospital in 2017, I remember being there all the time and it was the same thing. Some just, you know, were there and they did their job. But then you had those nurses that just have that natural ability. They really care. They really want to hear what's going on and they care. That's the gift of hospitality. Mary Bann leads our hospitality ministry here. Her and a team of many of you that help serve on that committee that helps when moms have babies and certain surgeries and things happen and you're off your feet, she'll call and sometimes before I even know. She'll know. Pastor Eddie, so-and-so's in a hospital. I say, okay, let's get some meals set up. How many of you have benefited from the hospitality ministry here at River of Life? Amen. Hands up everywhere. God bless you. How many of you don't know? You're getting ready to ask Mary Bann. I know. Amen. We got some donuts for you. Hallelujah. It's a gift. And if you have a gift to any of them, you need to find her and join that ministry. Teaching. Here it is again. Now, the gift of teaching is the God-given ability to explain and apply the truths received from God for his church. So all of us should be able to break down the gospel. All of us should be able to teach to some capacity. We all have the grace of teaching. But there are some that are gifted in the area of teaching. We got many teachers in our church. And you can use that teaching gift, and many of you do, for the kingdom of God. And you teach your kids. You teach the things of God. Exhortation, Paul mentioned that some, he says, if you have exhortation, use the grace that God gives you in exhorting. This is the God-given ability to encourage and instruct. It's not always to make you feel good. It's not always to encourage you. That's a part of exhortation. Exhortation is also to be kind of blunt and to instruct you. Do you know who was an exhorter in the New Testament? You may not know it. John the Baptist. The scripture says in Luke, and this is John the Baptist speaking, and God will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. That didn't sound like an exhortation to me. But that was an exhortation because it's not always comforting. Many times, what it is it's blunt. It will save your life. It's like if you see a house on fire and a person will exhort you to get out of that house. They have nothing but good news to give you, but they're not going to waste time explaining how to get out. They're going to say, hey, get out of the house. That's an exhortation. If you're one of them people, then that's probably a gift that you have. Giving, the Lord, this is a God-given ability to meet the needs with the spirit of generosity and gratitude, as I mentioned earlier. Leadership, this is the God-given ability to model and develop others. I know I'm taking a minute here and breaking these down because I want us all to see what these are. Then you're gonna make sense here in a minute. The God-given ability to model and develop others. So it's not just telling people what to do. We got to model. Leaders model. The Bible says, too, that a pastor and leader is someone who teaches. In the book of Hebrews, it says that someone who teaches, watch this, and has, and their faith follows their behavior. So this is big as a leader. It's a gift of leader too. God gives you an ability to model it. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, we're to follow Christ, but a leader, that's why James tells us not to be in such a hurry to be in leadership, because we will be held to a higher standard and more accountable. Is that the same Bible y'all got? Leadership. And then he says, the gift of mercy, the God-given ability to relate to others in empathy, respect, and honesty. Well, I don't have that gift, so I'm not gonna show mercy. No, no, no. We are all called to show mercy, but how many know some people just have a natural gift to just be merciful? So what do? After you define these gifts, this is why I want you to write this down. Our responsibility is to discover your gift. God has given us these gifts. You and I need to discover them. Some of you already have, you already know what they are. Many of you do not. How do you discover your gifts? This is how I'm going to word it. This is how I'm going to word it. You ready? This is the heart of the message right here. Let's say we're at a barbecue. Always around food. What is with me? And you got food everywhere, barbecue. It's delicious. Like yesterday at the softball thing, food everywhere, right? You're at a barbecue. And everyone's there, everyone's eating, everyone's having a good time, and someone walks away from the food line, and they just loaded up their plate, loaded it up, and they stumble and drop it all over the floor. If you're a preacher, now go with me, I'm gonna go kind of fast. If you're a preacher or an exhorter, your first instinct is to say, well, that's what happens when you're not careful. If you're a server, you're gonna say, I got it, I'll clean it up. If you're a teacher, you're gonna say, the reason it fell was because your plate was. If you're a giver, your first instinct is to say, here, take my plate. If you're an administrator, you're gonna say, hey, you get the mop, you get the other plate, you get the napkins, here's the chart, you're gonna walk to the left, you're gonna go around to the right. Where's my administrators at? If you're a leader, you're gonna make an announcement. From now on, everyone uses two hands. And you might even model it. I want you to walk just like this. Everyone. It's a leader. If you're a mercy gift, that's your gift, that's your number one gift, you'll be the first one to say, that's okay. It could have happened to anybody. It's not the end of the world. There's more food. If you're hospitality, you're going to say, okay, who was injured? Anybody injured? These are the gifts that God has given us. And I want you to see that because I want to ask you this. Where are you? Where are you? All of us can help. All of us can clean up the mess. But there's some of us that have a natural gift that says, hey, this is what God's gifted me in. This is what God's called me to do. It's my first instinct. I want to ask you, whose tears affect you the most? Whose battles are you willing to fight? That's the gifts that God has given you. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is number one. We got to maintain that fruit. But I want you to know, everybody here, God has given you gifts and he's given you abilities. Many of you are serving in church, you're using it in your career, but I'm telling you that let's take these gifts. And the last thing I want to say to you is we got to now develop our gifts. You know what they are. You know, you discover your gifts, but now you've got to develop your gifts. How do you develop your gifts? By using your gifts. You need to ask yourself this question: how can I use my God-given talent and ability? We're not even talking about prophets, you know, the fivefold ministry, prophet, apostles. We'll get to them. These are personality gifts. Everybody, your children has one of these as a dominant gift. And you can have more than one, but one of them is a dominant gift that you have. Ask yourself, how can I use my God-given resources and abilities to advance the kingdom of God? That's how I'm going to do. And I'm gonna begin to close this service right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, because then you'll really make me quit. We're going to stop a little early today, because I wanted to set this foundation. I want to set this foundation, and I want us to pray, and I want us to hear from God as to what he wants us to do and how we can develop these gifts a little bit more in our life. Our church is growing. I know it's in the middle of summer, but we're already talking about, if the Lord wills, we may have to go to two services. I think that's a good thing. I know we don't want to all do. We keep adding chairs every time you turn around. We've got the balcony ready to go. But I'm saying, if God begins to continue to grow us, we got to get more helpers. We got to get more of everything. But I want us to realize that God has given these gifts to make a difference in people's life. You're just as important, whether you got jelly or custard. And I love when we go to South Africa, when we went down there, we built a steel frame building. And I love this ministry. It's building steel frame buildings all over the globe, Builders International. There's actually other ministries doing the same thing. You know how that started? With one engineer sitting in church, hearing their pastor talk about something similar to what I'm saying. He's a successful engineer. He's not in ministry, but he loves Jesus. He's going to heaven. And he said, how can I use my gift, my engineering administrative gift, to build things? And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to design a simple to build metal frame building, and we're gonna plant them all over Africa. And he did it. He did it. He's not a preacher. You'll probably never know his name. So meanwhile, an 8-year-old boy in Alabama came home from school, and his dad used to call him and help him with works or chores around the house. And he went in the backyard to pull some nails out of a board. And he's 8 years old, and he's back there pulling nails out of a board. And he begins to pray and say, God, what are you going to do with my life? He heard a lesson at Sunday school. He heard something, and he was asking the same question. What do you want to do with my life? And God said, you're going to build churches in Africa. This little boy from Alabama. And guess what? We took a team of y'all, went with us last December to South Africa, and we met the dude from Alabama. He's been over there 20-something years, building steel frame buildings all over the place. Why? Because one person said, all I got is a little bit of jelly in here. And not everybody wants a steel frame building, but you know what? I think somebody can use a steel frame building. We're putting them buildings up in Africa, and just like you saw people come running up, grabbing them donuts, people come from everywhere to go to these churches because one person did that. I want to do more than just preach at this church, man. I want to encourage us and lead us to do something for the kingdom of God. So won't you stand with me? Some of you use your homes for life groups. You're not a teacher. You're not an engineer, but you, God's blessed you. When we bought our house in Taylor, I said, Lord, let us have a house that we have a room in it so we can have Bible studies. Some of you prayed that, I know. And God gave us a house, and that's what started. We started the life group ministry right there at my house. Some of y'all went there. I loved it. Some of you can just open your house. I mean, there's so many ways. I can't be the Holy Spirit. I've got so much going on in my life, Pastor Eddie. God has given you, every single one of us, something. We're all called to be a minister. We're all called to use our gifts for God's glory. What do you have that you could use to give to someone else? Somebody needs what God has placed in you. That's the message today. Let's quit fighting and arguing and over all of that and say, God, here I am. you can use me. How many received that message today? How many, this is a simple message today? I used to fight it. You know, my first call in ministry is I'm a drummer. I love the drums. I love to play drums. I miss it. I told Pastor Steve, I may get on the rotation. You may see me up here on a Sunday. The reason why I don't, because I can't remember. I get up here and go to preach and I forget. It takes everything I have. I'm not the best. I'm telling you, I struggle. It takes everything I have to get up here and preach. When I was asked to do my first assignment in church, I tell it all the time. It was Matt Beebe. It was Nancy's brother. Asked me to play drums for DWO. I was on the phone for over an hour of telling him every excuse in the world why I can't do it. And here's the thing. I just prayed, God, use me. Open the door. Don't anybody recognize me at that church. I prayed that, Isaac. 2 days later, I get a call from Matt Beebe, awesome worship, anointed man of God, needed to fill in drummer one Sunday, and I'm going, okay. The whole time I'm doing it, Melinda's in the background going, true story. I'm gonna get you. Finally, I hung up the phone, went downstairs. I had to go upstairs to get away from her, came downstairs. She said, well, what'd you say? I said, he said he didn't really need me. After I told him 50 times I couldn't, she said, you need to call him back. You just prayed, and how many know we need a good companion to kind of encourage us? Her exhorter gift said, boy, God's used you. He's given you a gift. He's given you some jelly. It's just jelly drumming. Everybody, you know, not anybody can play drums. So I called him back. I'll never forget this. I said, hey, Matt, you know, where's this church at? It was actually at MOC, one of their churches. He said, Eddie, you know what? I already just had a drummer fill in. I got to fill in. I don't need you. Thanks, you brother. I got you. And I hung up that phone, and I learned one thing. God said, when I ask you to do something, it's like, I've learned the ministry is like the parking place at Walmart. If you got a good parking place, soon as you come out, somebody's there with a blinker. If we don't speak up, how many know God will use somebody else? Come on, somebody. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Get to the place where it's not serving. Oh, I gotta serve. I gotta do this. No, we get to do this, guys. Do you realize we get to serve? We get to change the destiny of people's life. Are you kidding me? Not just building a structure in Africa. People are going to come here. When we had our celebration service in Africa, we preached the gospel and families came up and got saved, gave their heart to the Lord and became Christians. We are changing people's eternal destiny here. And if people get excited from making Dunkin' Donuts, you ever remember that commercial? It's time to make the donuts. Guy would get up and he'd make the donuts. Sometimes we have that attitude. I got to get up and go serve. I gotta get up with God, Pastor Ed. He's asking me to do this again. Come on, man. Where's our desires at? What gets you excited, and this guy excited, is if he sees you eat the donut and you get happy and you leave a good review and you get, man, that's, oh, I wanna make more donuts. See, some of us need to look around and see what God is doing through our life. Look at our church, guys. Look what God is doing here. You done it. This is us. It's you inviting people. You and Nick inviting Tim, and now his whole family's here. On and on and on and on. You're doing it, man. This is what we're doing. I'm kind of a cheerleader today. I'm just saying, let's keep going, guys. Because this country is out there. They're starving for what's in this box. Yeah, that too. But they're also starving for what's in this church. They're starving for the hope that you have, the gospel that you have, the peace, the joy, the eternal life. Don't think it's insignificant, Pastor Eddie. I can't do that. No. God has filled you with something. So what's your filling? How many say, I believe I know what my filling is today? How many say, I'm not sure? I still don't know. Amen. I'm going to ask those that are not sure. We're going to close with this. If you raise your hand and you're not sure what your calling is, I know God wants you to know more than I want you to know. He wants you to know more than you want to know. If you're not sure, I'm going to ask you, come out of your seat, come up here, fill this altar. I'm going to pray that the Spirit of God is going to speak to your heart today, and He's going to fill you today, and He's going to let you confirm what that calling is in your life in Jesus' name. So if you're in this place, you want to hear from God, why don't you come out of your seat, come on up, just lift your hands to the Lord, get your mind on God. Those of you that are at home and you say, Pastor Eddie, I'm not sure what my filling is. Some of you learned it through the preaching today. You said, yep, that's me. I'm going to ask God to confirm it to you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Rest of us, we're going to end with this one song, and then we're going to go home. Can you just lift your hands? Let's just worship right now. Hallelujah. Just begin to worship. And I'm going to pray over everybody here, everybody that's watching, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to our heart today. In the name of Jesus. So let's worship right now. Let's worship Him right now. Come on, let's sing. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.